This is Al Fink over here at BNCLive.com. How are you today? Hey, it's Labor Day, so we're wondering if anybody's going to show up. It's been a nice day over here on the Jersey Shore, better than the last couple of days. Kind of a washout for the local shore merchants here. The crowds were not so big because the weather was not so hot. It was kind of rainy on and off. Today we had a nice day here, about 80 degrees, and so at least they salvaged one day of the Labor Day weekend. Well, tonight we got our normal Monday night show, and tonight we're going to have a guest, Turquoise Rose. She'll be on with us in a little bit, live from Texas. Fortunately, an area of Texas that has not been hit by the flooding and the storm. We wish all those folks well down there. We've been watching very closely on the news. We wish them well, and they're in our prayers. So here's what we have going on tonight. We have an open show tonight, so anybody can call in from anywhere and talk to us about their live music on Main Street in their local area. No matter where it is in the United States, if they want to call from out of the country, you're welcome to do so. Number's 917-889-9970. We'll talk about your live music on Main Street. More than welcome to talk and tell us about what's going on in your local area. If you're a band, if you're an entertainment venue, if you're a promoter, you want to talk about your live shows, you're more than welcome to call in. Call in at 917-889-9970. Let me share with you a couple things that are going on over here at BNC Live. You're listening to Al Fink here at BNCLive.com. I wanted to give you our schedule for the next couple of weeks and so tell you what's going on and who we'll be interviewing over the next few weeks. Again, tonight we have Turquoise Rose. She's going to talk to us about her life and music. She has a long music career, and we're going to find out about Turquoise Rose this evening. And next week we're going to have, let me see my schedule. So you can go to bnclive.com, just like I'm doing right now, to see what we will be having on our show over the next few weeks. Okay, so next week, 9/11, that infamous day, we have Jason Colombini, who'll be on with us, and our that's at 8 p.m. next Monday night on 9/11. Our 9 o'clock show is still open. So we'll have somebody else come on that part of the show. And then at 9:18, we have the Detonators. They'll be on with us, another New Jersey band. So we'll be talking with those folks over the next couple of weeks. We have a lot of other shows coming up after that, but I won't bore you with all that information right now. It puts us a little off into the future. I want to remind you to go and visit our Twitter accounts. If you go to bnclive.com, over on the left-hand side of the page, you can see all the Twitter accounts that we have. They're localized to different areas: Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, the Connecticut area, Delaware, Miami. In New Jersey, we have 4 different Twitter accounts, divide up the state. In New York, we have 4 or 5 different Twitter accounts for different areas of New York, New York City, Long Island. We have a couple of different accounts in Long Island. So we invite you to visit those accounts, join the one that's closest to you, and you're free to post anything about your music and your live entertainment. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring on Turquoise Rose, and if you behave yourselves, we'll tell you her real name. So hang on a minute. Hey, this is Al Fink. Is this Turquoise Rose?
No.
It's not.
You must have the wrong number.
Is this an imposter?
It could be.
Well, how did you get this number? That's what I want to know.
You called me.
Yep. That's funny. All right. So, I'm looking at Turquoise Rose. Your real name is Olivia. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Tell us your last name, Olivia.
Francis. I have 3 first names.
You do? Well, Olivia Francis.
Yeah.
What's the third one?
My middle name, after my mother's mom, Ollie Mae Moore, May.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her her name May.
Okay. So you're from Amarillo?
Well, no. I wasn't born
here. That's where you are now though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what goes on in Amarillo on a Labor Day weekend? Is there a lot of shows going on there or people just having barbecues? What's going on over there?
I really have no idea. I haven't hardly been out of the house today. I really don't know what's going on. Ran to the store and came home, and that was about it.
What's the weather like over there? Is it hot?
It's pretty warm. It's nice.
Okay.
It's about 90, low 90.
Okay. Is that about normal for this time of year?
This weather this year has been really strange. You know, it's not been normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lot of rain.
Gotcha.
A lot of rain.
Well, you folks in that area have been spared the Hurricane Harvey, right? I mean, you haven't really seen the effects of that, or did you get some of the rain from that and really not all the flooding and stuff?
No, I really haven't really noticed a marked change at all, honestly.
Okay. You're quite west of the storm, I would imagine. Well, that's good. We're happy that you're safe and dry over there, and we wish all the folks north. You're north? Okay. All right.
A lot.
Well, we're happy you're safe and dry over there, and we wish all the other folks that aren't to be well, and hopefully they'll get back their lives back to normal as soon as possible. It must be a very devastating thing. We went through a storm here about 6 years ago called Sandy. That was pretty devastating. But looking at some of the pictures on television and some of the things going on over there, that's not something doesn't look like a very hospitable environment at this point. So we wish them well.
I got really upset when I saw something online about the reporter who was shoving the microphone and the girl with her little children out in that storm all wet, no place to sleep and hungry and they were miserable. And she was, "Well, how you doing?" Hello.
Sometimes they don't know when to stop, unfortunately. All right, well, let's do this. Let's talk about a few other more, nice things, and we'll go through. Let's talk about your career in music. I'm on your Reverb page, and you have a lot of songs up here, all music. These are all songs that you wrote yourself? All of these, let's see, you have quite a few up here. So every one of these are original. Wow, so you've been writing these throughout your life?
Well, there are a few copy tunes intermixed too.
Right, kind of a few covers like The Power of Love and Never Ends. And I see the ones that you don't have for sale. Those are the cover songs, right? Songs by other bands.
Sometimes if I work with musicians like compose and stuff, if I don't have permission, I generally don't sell those, put them up for sale or anything. So.
Mm-hmm.
But
how do you get their permission? You get their permission in writing? How does that work?
I really haven't ever done it, so I'm not sure.
I got you.
The Power of Love is one that I wrote.
Okay.
You mentioned The Power of Love, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And how long does it take you to actually write some of these songs? I would imagine some of them take longer than others, but you kind of got an average of, how long some of these take? Or are they works that you worked on all your life and then, you finish one up after so many years that you've been working on it or so many months? Tell us about the process.
Well, I basically write every morning. I've been doing it for years. I've been writing since I was in my 20s. But I've got like two shoe boxes full of cassettes, full of things I'd written through the years, and now I've lost them all. The cassettes don't last very long. So I've lost a lot of tunes that I've written since my 20s, like Love's Never Been My Winning Game and a bunch of other ones. I can't remember all the titles right now, but I just get up every morning and write. And usually that's the best time to write for me. We know when your mind's fresh, when you just wake up. And I just grab my coffee and run in here and turn on the computer and start writing. And generally I have an idea before I even get the computer on. Sometimes when I wake up, a song title will come to me or something. And just kind of flows out. You know, I really don't spend, you know, a lot of people take years to write songs. Generally, I just write one a day. It's like, it doesn't mean it's always good, but, you know, it's just what comes out. And I just
That's
love
fantastic.
Doing it. And then I just always love writing. Since I was, I started writing when I was about in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So tell us about...
Happening Place. In the blues.
Hold on a second.
See, because I love the blues, and I have to confess,
Okay, so I'm looking at your page here, and you released an album called Half a Woman on August 25th. Tell us a little bit about 2016. Tell us a little bit about that album. I like the artwork. Did you do that artwork, or did somebody do that for you?
Yeah. No, I did that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So,
I'm
now,
an artist too.
So not only are you a recording artist and a singer, you draw on your computer? Is that how you make these covers?
Oh, I paint in real life. I've done portraits and anything. I can paint pretty much anything. Doesn't matter what it is, I can paint it.
Wow. Yeah. And so this is actually a picture of one of your paintings then, right?
Yes. Well, it was a photo I think I took of myself and then reinterpreted it into that using might have been Photo Impression or one of those
uh-huh.
programs. I don't have that program anymore, but I can't
uh-huh.
do that. But
so yeah. tell us about the inspiration of some of these songs that you have on there. Better Days Tonight, Half a Woman. Why don't you tell us about Half a Woman, since that's the name, that's kind of the flagship song on the album, right? That's the name of the album. So tell us about that one, Traditional Country, Half a Woman.
Well, it was just, I'm getting kind of forgetful in my old age. I think that was 2005, around that time. And I really didn't have any thought in mind. Honestly, the songs just pop into my mind. I'm not sitting there generally thinking about what to write. A lot of times the title, a lot will just pop into my mind. And I'll go, whoa, where'd that come from? And it'll just spark me off. Or sometimes I'll hear, you know, somebody talking and they'll say something and I'll go on my little deal, you know, where I start singing words. It's like to them. It's like conversations, you know, with people or whatever. But Half a Woman, I really can't think what I had in mind at the time, honestly. It was
Do you write about life? Do you write about life experiences or about experiences of other folks?
Well, I'm sure a lot of it, I mean, it has to pertain to that because, you know, where else would it come from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It either comes from life or things you've experienced or else it's a divine intervention kind of thing, you know, where you get word from somewhere else. There's lots of different ways, I guess, you can get ideas. And generally when I write something, when I get an idea, man, it pops out.
I'm actually going to play this a little bit in the background. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Pretty song. I'm having trouble with my mixer, so what I'm doing with this, I'm just playing it through the speaker from another computer. I can't hear it through my headset. I only can hear the other end. Otherwise, I'd, you know, be getting confused. So.
Yeah.
But you can hear that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty strong. That's called Half a Woman, right? That's what's playing now.
It's what?
Half, is that Half a Woman? Is that the name of that song?
Yeah, Half a Woman.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
I was just
There's
thinking about all the things with Half, you know.
Uh-huh.
To do with Half.
So. Very pretty. This is a very pretty song. All right, so you got a lot of other songs on here too, Real Cowboys. So the area that you live in Amarillo, is it city or country? Now I know Houston is gigantic. I mean, it's a gigantic city. So how does Amarillo? I mean, Texas is a very big state, but how does Amarillo?
I don't really know the head count on it. I can't think of the head count, but I know there's a lot of people here. I mean, and it's growing. It keeps growing like crazy.
Uh-huh.
Through the years, it's really grown a lot since even like 2006, 2007.
So do you have cowboys there that go out in the trail and they move cows around and things like that? Does that still exist in that area?
I think they still have some rodeos and stuff once in a while, but I'm really not into any of that. So I'm more of a homebody. And if I do go somewhere like out in the country or whatever, it's usually Palo Duro Canyon. I enjoy that a lot. Yeah. Going out there. I've shot some videos out there for looking for pigs and stuff.
they have wild boar there. Is that what you're shooting? You said pigs.
It was always boring when my friend and I went out there and was trying to find, wild boar, pigs. He was a pig hunter and so he thought he could find the pigs, and so we were videotaping it out there and anyway, we never found a pig, so found a lot of roots, where they had their little nose in the dirt and a lot of poop.
so you know they were there. They were just hiding on you.
Oh yeah.
Hiding on you.
Yeah.
So tell me about this song, Real Cowboys.
Oh.
Tell me about the inspiration for that.
Boy, just thinking about real cowboys.
I'll jar your memory a little.
Well, I don't know if it'll jar it.
You hear that okay?
Sure do.
Good. Pretty voice. Now, do you record this on your home computer or do you do this in the studio? How is that? How do you do that?
It's on the computer using GarageBand.
Oh, is that right? So you use the program GarageBand, and then how about the instrumentation? Is that part of GarageBand, or are you playing that, or tell us about that?
Yeah, that's my feeble attempt at music, yeah. I do the best I can, what I have to work with. I don't really play an instrument. I use keyboard typing in GarageBand.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think you're cutting yourself a little short because this sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. So you're thinking about the real cowboys. So how do you know about real cowboys? I mean, have you been out on the range or you watch cowboys and Indians on television? So tell us about the cowboys.
Well, yeah, I used to watch cowboy shows when I was younger. I've seen rodeo kind of things, and I don't always write out of personal experience. Sometimes I go by things I've heard, what other people say or what I've heard. Actually, a friend of mine, Richard D, wrote two or three lines of that song. He was over when I was recording it, and he lives in Idaho. But he used to live here, and we were friends. And anyway, we had fun. He's actually part writer on that. I put him on that because, he did help with it and inspired me with it. So.
So tell me about. Let's see. Let me see if I can find your biography on here. Here, let's see. Read more. Okay, so I'm going to read your biography. If anybody's interested, you can go on Reverb Nation and you can actually see what I'm looking at here, Reverb Nation Turquoise Rose on Reverb Nation, and you'll get her whole, the entire bio here. So I'm looking at your bio, and you basically call this the journey. You know, you start from being born in, how do you pronounce that? Kwaya? How do
you pronounce that? Quanah, Texas. You know who Quanah Parker is?
No.
He was an Indian.
Okay.
And he lived in Quanah, and he had several children, and he went to the church there. Actually, my mother used to play with his kids, and they went to the same church when she was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, you know, well known, pretty much. I think pretty much a lot of people know about him. But
okay, I have not heard of him. That doesn't mean, you know, that he's not popular. I don't know everything. Okay. So then from that part of Texas there, you moved to Bakersfield, California. So you spent a good part of your life as a youngster in California, right in the Santa Barbara area. Is that right?
Yeah. You want to know how my trip was to California?
Well, I'm more interested in the time when you started playing music. So did you have an interest in music when you were a youngster in Bakersfield?
Oh yeah, I've always loved music. You know, most people do. I mean, it's just that rhythm in the music that draws you into it, and I haven't really talked to anybody who hasn't really been raised around music. Now my music background comes from my dad's side. We have a book called The Fabric of the Family that my dad's sisters put together many years ago. And it has all the, you know, writings. I've got poetry, and, you know, my grandmother even wrote songs. She's got one of her songs in there. My cousin, David Francis, he has some songs in there that he'd written. Just a lot of stuff, just a conglomeration of things from the family on the Francis side. And so my dad was a guitar player, and both my brothers were, and a singer, and he played harmonica and stuff. So I was raised around music from the time I can remember, you know. It was just a natural thing, yeah.
And then, so Bakersfield is primarily a farming community, right? That area. And were your folks in farming when you were at Bakersfield?
No.
Okay.
No, they weren't. No, my dad had various jobs, you know, but no farming.
Mm-hmm.
Speak of.
Yeah, then
they had a restaurant.
Okay. Oh, that's well. We all like food too. music and food kind of go together. I mean,
my mom was a great cook. Yeah. Oh boy, I'm surprised that, you know, I don't weigh 300 pounds because, man, she cooked good.
Now, did she cook in the restaurant with?
They had a little restaurant for a while. They didn't have it but a few months actually, because they tried the all you can eat kind of menu.
too many healthy appetites there for that.
Yeah, I'm not kidding when I tell you that there was a line every day they were open that went clear around the block waiting to get in. My mother was such a good cook, and she'd make homemade pies. She'd stay up half the night making her pies when dad did the kitchen work, you know, and getting the stuff prepared in there. And then they made a lot of stuff too to bring. But they had the all you can eat, and they were just pushovers. I mean, people just kept eating and eating it. And they actually got eaten out of business, because one day mom took off her apron, threw it on the counter, and there was people still in there eating. And they just walked out the back door and went home and left everybody in there.
They just turned the kitchen over to them, huh?
Yeah, okay. They just said, "How about it? Eat it all. We won't be back."
That's an interesting story. Yeah. So now, it says here that in your early 20s, you began seeking out musicians to, I guess, to play with in bands. So, we look down a little bit more in your band history here, and you were with the Leroy B Band, four piece bluegrass country band, and they played at Birdcage Saloon on Whiskey Row in the mid-70s. Tell us about that. That sounds interesting.
Well, it was just a small little club, and it never really was a packed house or anything. It's just a little bar, and we had a little audience, but nothing spectacular. It was just a down-home little place, and I don't know what else more to say about it.
So what's Whiskey Row? Is that the name of the street, or is that an area in
It's adjacent to the courthouse next to Gurley Street.
Okay. These are the actual names on the street signs, Whiskey Row and Gurley Street, or are these nicknames?
Well, Whiskey Row, I don't think that's the name of the street, but I can't even think right now. It's been so long since I've been over there. Gurley Street, I remember Gurley Street.
Uh-huh.
Iron Springs Road, I think, was the proper name for the road that was on.
Uh-huh.
If I remember right. But,
so that was in the mid-70s. How long did that go on for?
I don't even remember. It wasn't all that long. Several months, probably,
okay.
We did that. The girls just kind of went their own way. And I talked to Leroy not too long ago. He's in his 70s now. And, man, he was so good, too. I mean, they were all great musicians. Christy and Marianne both.
Gotcha. And how many people were in that? How many? Four-piece bluegrass and country. So were you part of that? You were the vocals in that four-piece band? So you had drums?
We didn't have drums. We all sang.
Okay.
Leroy sang, and he played harmonica. He had the little harmonica deal you put around your neck to put your harmonica in. And so he'd play guitar and play harmonica at the same time and then sing in between, you know.
Oh, that's amazing. That's multitasking for you. That's multitasking for you.
Well, they have those one-man bands now, you know.
Uh-huh.
They can do everything. But, they were all just excellent musicians. I was blessed to be with them. And, I wish it never had to end, you know, but things move on. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you learn and grow, I guess. You just got to keep going with the flow. And
then you moved on to another band called Flashback Dallas in the mid-80s. Looks like you took a little, may have taken a little time off there to let life catch up with you, had to grow a family and stuff, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. My whole life kind of like was a whirlwind, and it's like,
uh-huh.
you know how you get it caught up and stuff, and whoosh, and sometimes you can't even remember all the stuff that happens is so chaotic. It just happens so fast.
Uh-huh.
And, that was some good times. And I talked to, I hadn't talked to Gloria Mosley, Lady Soul, was her name. We all had our own little names. I was Sparkles and bass player was Dr. Love, and the, drummer, was the Italian Stallion. And Doug Baskin, who played the keyboard, he was called the Professor. And then we had Gary Liddell, which was the Elvis impersonator. We had to lie about his age to even get him to play in the clubs because he was only 16
years old. Yeah,
yeah.
16-year-old Elvis impersonator. So he dressed up like Elvis and sang Elvis songs. Is that what you mean by an impersonator?
Oh, man, yeah. He did the whole deal. I mean, any, you know, the way he fixed himself up, and he had to dye his hair. He had blonde hair, but he dyed it black and he glued some sideburns on his face. And
so he changed his name to Johnny Lovett.
He changed it to Johnny Lovett, and I'm trying to find my notes I made here because I made some notes.
Yeah, I'm reading this right off of your artist bio. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
We can move on.
He's on Facebook, Johnny Lovett. He's on Facebook.
Okay, that's pretty cool. And then you performed Go ahead. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Oh, anyway, I was talking to Gloria Mosley. I hadn't talked to her since I left the band, basically. And I called Ronnie, the drummer, and got her number. And he says he didn't know if it was working or not, but got a hold of her. She called me back, actually. I left a message. And, man, we had a good conversation this afternoon. And she's and what's really weird, Al, is this last couple weeks, I even asked the guitar player, Roy Rogers, you know, about it. And I talked to him on Facebook about getting together again. I talked to Ronnie about it. I go, why don't we get together again and do a gig somewhere, you know? And they're all, poo-poo on it, huh?
They're not interested.
Yeah, but then when it's weird because I've been thinking about Gloria so strong and then got her number and left a message, and she called me back, and she's working freaking cruise ships all over the place, and she's trying to get me to do it. And I go, hey, last time I was on a boat, I threw up. I was, and I don't know if a cruise ship would be any better. You know, maybe it won't rock as much, but I told her, I said, well, it sounds great, and the money's great, she said, and I said, that sounds like fun. She goes, and also, she goes, I would really like us all to get together and play again. And I about dropped on the floor. I went, what? I said, I've been saying that to the guys recently. And I said, and you were thinking it too? I thought that was really weird. And I'm going, wow. You know, you ever have those moments where you're thinking something and somebody else can? Yeah, it's like wow.
So, what was your name when you played with Johnny? Did you use a stage name?
Oh, a Flashback. He was our front man.
And but what was your stage name when you played with that band?
Sparkles.
Sparkles. And now,
yeah,
John,
glittery stuff.
So Johnny's from Dallas, Fort Worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was his, I wrote that down somewhere. I need to be a better note taker.
Now, how are you doing? Just fine. Yeah, you're doing wonderfully.
I know. But you know, if you write pages of little notes, then you forget what page you wrote them on.
Yeah. I don't, you know, honestly, I don't prepare whatsoever for these shows. I'm serious. I try,
but you know, I'm getting old. I can't remember everything.
But we all are. We all are. And the questions just kind of flow. The questions just kind of flow from, you know, I ask a few questions. And then, you know, when you ask a question, you get a lot more questions from the answers than you get answers. So you just keep – that's kind of what I do. And then I just look at – I look at the entertainers page.
You're very good at what you do.
Well, thank you very much. I like doing this very much, and I meet a whole bunch of really nice people that just love entertaining other folks, and it's really really a blessing, actually. Really a blessing.
Okay.
I'm actually on Facebook. I'm actually on Johnny Lovett's page. I'm asking him on his Facebook page to come on with us.
Cool. Well, good luck. But
he may not be watching his page. So we'll try. You know, we'll try. We'll be on for a bit longer. So we'll try to get him to come on.
His stepdad, I found out through Ronnie, was Johnny Hara, and he was also an Elvis impersonator.
Uh huh. This guy looks just like him. I mean,
it's amazing.
You know,
it's amazing. Well, I don't know. I'm thinking one of those photos on his page might be the real Elvis and the other one him. I'm not sure because their noses don't look the same to me.
Well, listen, I'm not saying he's a twin, okay? But he sure plays the role.
Oh my! If that's Gary, I'm shocked because he used to be such a scrawny little kid. He was only 16.
Well, you said Johnny Lovett on Facebook, right? That's his name on Facebook.
He has legally changed his name to that. Yes.
Okay.
His real name is Gary Liddell.
Right. Well, if he changed his name legally, his real name now is Johnny Lovett.
Exactly.
So
I can't get
used to it. we're hoping he's you know, on Facebook now. Maybe he'll call in. We can share some times, and that'd be a lot of fun, I think.
That would be really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a nice thing. If anybody else would like to call in, they can call in at 917-889-9970. Talk with Olivia, or you can just talk about what you got going on in your local area. I know it's Labor Day, and we weren't expecting a lot of people to call in, but the lines are open, and we're going to be on here for a while yet, so feel free to call in and share with us. So let me go back.
I invited them.
You invited
people?
Okay, so folks,
I invited a lot, yeah.
A lot of folks, what I find is they don't like to call a lot, but you'd be surprised, there might be a lot of people listening, and by tomorrow night, we'll know how many people actually listened in. Unfortunately, the platform that I use right now does not have immediate real-time reporting. Usually, it's the next day. I see a graph of how many people called that were not called, but listened to the show.
Yeah, but you know, being a holiday, Labor Day, you know, families get together and everything.
Exactly.
I'm assuming that would, reign higher on the list than a radio show. You know,
sure.
I mean, once you get your family going,
you'd be surprised.
Yeah, get them food and whatnot. And,
you never know. And this is a time when things start winding down, you know, the family parties and stuff and barbecues and, So I'm looking, now I'm looking on your Facebook page. Looking at here. So
careful on my Facebook page.
Well, yeah, there's subjects that I don't, bring on the show. One is politics and things like that I don't bring on the show. So, Austin Bolo. Did you listen to Austin Bolo? You know him? This young
Austin
man
Bolo?
Is truly gifted. Yeah.
What's it say? Listen to a lot of people. I can't.
Yeah,
possibly
have a,
remember
you have
everything.
A post. I interviewed him not too long. I interviewed him about a year and a half ago.
Oh,
young
really?
Man is truly gifted. Yeah, yeah. And he's from Tom's River, the next town over. The next town over from me. How do you know Austin? You by just listening?
Listen
to music.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what do you like listening to?
I can't.
Yeah. Tell me what you like listening to. Or what kind of music you like listening to?
Well, I'm kind of open to just about anything. It's just whether the music touches a chord in me or not. That's what I go by. If it makes me feel a certain way, it doesn't really matter to me what kind of music it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love I just love music. I love musicians. I love music. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't, would I? I'd be insane to do this if I didn't love it.
There's not a whole lot of money in music anymore, mm-hmm. especially for the local artists. They're doing it. It's a labor of love. They like performing. Some of them are making money, and a lot of them are not. And I got to hand it to musicians and artists. They keep at it with very little monetary reward. And that's one of the things we talk about on my show all the time, about the love of the business. And there's many, many musicians that are very very good, but they're very unknown. There's not a whole lot of, I don't know how it is out that way, but and on the East Coast over here, I'm being told that a lot of the venues have, closed down. So there's half of the venues that there used to be, and sometimes even less than that. So have you experienced the same thing out your way there?
Oh man, it's horrible. Yeah, I've tried to find bands to get into and stuff, and the bands that are already formed, most of them are all male, and they don't want a female singer. And so it's not that I haven't tried; I just haven't been able to find the right spot, I guess, or the right people or something. But
the
venues are there's a couple places in town, yes, that do that. But I haven't gone out to do that in a long time. I used to. So
you played at open mics? You've gone out to open mics?
Oh, I went to a couple of them. Been a long time, though. I do karaoke once in a while. In fact, I did karaoke a couple weeks ago.
Is that how you met some of the bands that you played with in the past, through an open mic?
No, I played with Cracker Jack up here.
Cracker Jack, so let's see. I saw that on here. So let's see.
They were
auditioning
for a vocalist back. That was before I went to Nashville. That was I met Farron Young, who really stepped on my dream. But
tell us about you going to Nashville. So you went to Nashville with a band, or you yourself performed venues Dallas, Grand Ole, the Country Connection, among other locals, and out of town clubs, the Garland Opry houses, and that's Garland, Texas, right?
And when I lived in Dallas, I sing at the Opry houses. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, that's what it says here. Performed in Dallas, Texas, Country Connection, among other local and out-of-town clubs. So did you perform as a solo artist? Did you perform with a band?
No, that was with Flashback.
Flashback in Dallas, Texas. Okay.
I did a couple little, contests they had around Dallas, and I won three little trophies.
Now, when you performed, did you perform some of these songs that you wrote, or did you guys do cover songs?
No, I tried to incorporate original material with Flashback, and they just didn't want to go there. They wouldn't have it, I kept saying, come on, just listen, let's just do this. I just wanted to do, what we were doing, so I just kind of dropped that and just went with the flow,
Yeah. I see your early influences, Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm. I used to sing Loretta Lynn. You ain't woman enough to take my man in the Opry, the Wiley Opry house. I sang at the Wiley Opry, Garland, and Mesquite Opry houses. And I was in a contest back then. The Wiley Opry had a singing contest. And there was only about three people maybe in it, but it was all by audience, whoever claps the most, basically.
Okay.
And you're supposed to bring all your friends, but the winner got to go to Nashville and record a song at Alexander Charter, a record company.
And was that you?
And I wanted it so bad, Al. I was just frothing at the mouth. And Lynn, she was a friend of mine. We got along real well, Vicki Lynn, and singing out there at the Opera House. And anyway, we had this contest that night, and I didn't have anybody come. No one came with me. I didn't have any friends there, any family. And so she won. She got the prize. And I was so happy for her because she had a really beautiful voice, beautiful voice. And but I tell you what, I wanted that so bad, Al. I just it was like, why didn't I bring friends? Because I didn't have many. But
you needed the voting was done by the applaud of the audience, then, right?
Yeah. Right.
I got you.
Yeah. Tell us about, I have the records left. I've got several records that with me. The song I wrote on there called "Stranger" has my name on it.
Is that what you sang there at that contest?
Yeah, she sang it on the record. She asked me if I had any songs. She said because she we were friends, and she goes, oh, I just feel so bad, because she wanted me to be able to go too. And she says, do you have any songs that I could record? And I said, well, I've got "Stranger." So she practiced that and took it there, and it's on side B on the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but you wrote that song, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm looking, is it on Reverb Nation?
No, I never did that song.
No. Well, no, but you wrote it, right? But you never sang it?
Yeah, I wrote it. Right. I don't have it in it. I never did it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of songs that I've written through the years that I haven't done. I've got too many.
Let's play a little trivia here. Hang on. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a song, and you give me the name.
I'm drawing a blank. What?
You never play trivia before?
Play trivia?
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. We're playing music trivia, by the way.
Oh, man. I couldn't possibly remember every title.
You have a lot of songs up here. Later, we'll play.
It's like
we'll
you grow your
something.
Kid up. You grow your
play
kid
something.
Up, right? And then you kind of push him out the door and go, okay, go get a life, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, here we go. We'll try this. Let's try this one. Hang on. I'll give you a hint. This is from your latest album.
Uh-oh.
I can make it louder if you can't hear it.
No, it's good. Better days tonight.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. We got to figure out a prize for you.
I didn't get the gong that time, did I?
No, you didn't. You did good on that one. And this music you did on GarageBand, yes?
No, Better Days Tonight was picking up Paul Rodriguez on Compose. I put it up on my profile on there looking for instrumentalists on it. I just sang it, you know, without music and posted it. And he came across it and he said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. So he got several different musicians together and they did the music. And that's how that came to be.
How is this album selling?
It's not.
You know, people.
I honestly haven't made a dime with my music that I can recall.
Well, you want to know something? A lot of people will tell you the same thing. Now, you're part of BMI, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then BMI does not keep track of what's played for you, or you don't hear anything?
What do you mean, what's played?
Well, you know, BMI is a performing rights organization. Don't they pay you for, don't they keep track of your royalties for you? Or?
Oh, you mean if someone else plays a tune that I write, you mean, somewhere?
Yeah, so let's say...
There's no possible way on God's green earth, Al, that they're going to be able to keep up with all that if someone plays it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's just no way. I mean, it'd be impossible for them. They can't be everywhere, you know? if a band's playing it and decides to play someone's song, I mean... And a lot of people give right, you know, that they're allowed to play it.
Right, sure.
Well, That wouldn't bother me if people want to play my song, you know, as long as, you know, if it sells to somebody who's famous, you know, that'd be great. That's my biggest thing that I'd like to have accomplished to get a song into the hands of a well-known musician, you know.
Sure, sure. Now, you sent me an email earlier. I want to look at this email, and you asked me some questions about this. So you've been contacted by a record label. Is that what you're telling me on this email? I don't know, maybe that's about this. I got an email.
Well, it's out of Hong Kong. They're from Hong Kong, and the man's name is David, and he was supposed to call me back a couple of days ago, but he never did. So I'm assuming maybe he just didn't like what I sent or what. I don't know what the deal is. I haven't heard anymore, so that's kind of like dead in the water, like so many other things seem to become, you know. So I kind of just put it on the back burner with other stuff and let it go. You know, if I hear something, fine. If I don't, fine.
It actually looks like I'm like reading this. I didn't get a chance to read it more thoroughly. It almost looks like that this may be like an internet radio station. That's what this looks like, and they're trying to sell you on a non-exclusive contract. And
they said no money up front. No money up front.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't have to pay for any of this. I mean, this participants will be paid based on actual usage of their track. So, yeah, this is you know who you should register yourself with? You should register yourself with Sound Exchange.
Really?
Yeah, because Sound Exchange monitors what's played on the internet. Okay. And this is probably how they report. The solution is they reach more than 150 million consumers each day through more than 500,000 subscribers located in 100 countries. Now, you know, let me share something with you. Europe loves American musicians. I don't know if you know that or not. But if I was you, I would check into Sound Exchange and get registered and register yourself.
No, I love that.
And your songs.
I wrote that
Sound
down.
Exchange. Yeah, with Sound Exchange, and they monitor stuff that's played on the internet. This is one of the reasons we don't really play music over here. This is more or less a talk show. You know, I play snippets of the song during the interview, but you know, very rarely are you going to hear music playing. You know, on our archives. I mean, if we play two songs a day on the archives, you'd be surprised. I mean, you'll hear some of your snippets on your interview here. So whatever we play tonight, you'll hear it on the interview on Mixcloud. That's where we store the archives. And from what Mixcloud's saying, they actually pay the royalties. So you really should.
Wow.
Yeah, you really should get registered with the Sound Exchange.
Yeah,
the way,
cool.
Way the music been. You got a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a friend that started contacting me, actually first through Indaba, because I'm also on Indaba, you know. And
what is that?
Well, it's another music site. They
how do you
they
spell
have contest live.
How do you spell
it? Indaba.
Indaba.com.
I-N as in neighbor.
Right.
Indaba. Indaba.com.
Okay, let's take a look and see what that. Okay, celebrating Sound Power. Well, I must be in the wrong place. I must be spelling it wrong because this is celebrating the style and power of African art. So apparently that's not it. So spell that for me one more time.
Well, they have a lot of opportunities there. Indaba, Indaba.
B-A, right, as in boy?
Might be IndabaMusic.com. You might try
Indaba
that.
Indaba Music, okay. Music, let me try that. Yeah, let's try that. Yeah, there you go.
I just always... Did you find it? Okay. But I've been on there for years, and, you know, they have opportunities. And that's one of the places that helped me hone being able to, you know, practice with my music abilities and creating tracks and stuff. And,
Good.
I really enjoyed that site through the years. And there's a
lot
of good people
on there as well?
Just projects that I've entered and stuff, yeah. Just opportunities, you know, that I've entered. I'm on the Sarah Vaughan deal now. Of course, I'll never get it because I'm too old. But, you know, it's just
Why would that keep you? Because
the music industry is based on youth, and
people who can make them money. You know what I mean?
But they want someone with a long shelf life. Basically, most of them. That's why you're hearing, you know, most of them in the industry have teenagers. Start out as teenagers, just like Tanya Tucker. She was like 13 or 14, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now people get discovered on YouTube. You put your stuff up on YouTube?
I don't have any videos.
Well, yeah, you have to create the video. You can actually make, there's actually programs where you could take photography, still pictures, and loop them all together. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I've done that.
And then that online. So that
the photos
you
can
put up on YouTube,
put a
that
video
way
together,
with your music.
Yeah.
Yeah, with your music behind it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Right.
You know, you make like a slideshow, and then it turns it into a video. So the slideshow goes on and your music plays. So that might be something for you to do. But today, that's the way people are discovered. You get a million hits on YouTube. Because I've talked to musicians, and, you know, I'd say the same thing about you. Why have you not been discovered? And the answer that I get is discovered by who?
There's so many people out there doing the whole thing. You know, they're doing the same thing. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the planet, you know.
Yeah.
And it's almost
impossible. A lot of competition. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. It's like a needle in a haystack effect, you know.
Yeah. Well, the way is you have to have 3 million hits on YouTube. That's the way. That's what they're doing.
Well, you know, now they've got ways to make money like on Twitter and different sites is you pay to get fans. You know, it's like and you'll get 100 followers.
Well, but that's bogus. You really shouldn't be paying to get. Followers is your work. People that are on the platforms that are like you, like-minded, and that's kind of how you do it. But it takes time. Mm-hmm. But the way excuse me.
Wish I was there to pat you on the back.
Well, I'll take it as you did. Let me grab a drink of water here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but that's the way, you know, and getting 3 million hits on YouTube. Interesting. Very interesting. It's an interesting world. Everything changes. You know, music is another business. It's just no different from a store. It's a business. And, you know, the perfect example of a business changing is you look at a company like Sears, okay? Sears is having trouble now because of the internet, okay? But back in the 1800s, the late 1800s, early 1900s, guess what happened? Sears put out a catalog. And guess what happened to the businesses in town? They went out of business. Mm-hmm. Because of the internet of that time, which was the Sears catalog. So, you know, things change, and the music business changed drastically over the last 30 years. And just like any other business, it's changed. So, all right. Well, this has been a very interesting interview. And, believe it or not, we've been on now for, let's see.
About an hour.
Yeah, an hour. And we
and nobody
did not run.
Called in.
Yeah, nobody's called in, but that doesn't mean nobody listened. And then this interview will live on forever, where you'll be able to point people to, and they'll be able to listen to it. And by morning, you'll have a link to that. And you'll just like the other links that are up on Mixcloud on my best of site, you'll have one up there too. So if anybody missed it because they were at a family gathering, guess what? They can listen to it anytime they want, 24 hours a day.
I could talk about it for another 24 hours a day.
Oh yeah, it's my daughter just texted me. She's listening. Hi Jesse, call in Jesse. My daughter just texted me said she's listening. Well, call the phone number, Jesse. If you're listening, call 917-889-9970. You can tell us about Denver. My daughter's out in Denver. She's an artist out in Denver.
What kind of art?
Jesse, call us and tell us about your art. Call in.
What kind of art does she do? Yeah.
Hopefully she'll call. She's shy. Call in and tell us about her art. 917-889-9970. But she did just send me a text.
You'd never know it, Al, but I'm basically that. I'm like her, kind of shy.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. Here's what she goes, nope. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that thing come in. She goes, nope. All right, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a little shy. But she's got great art. She's a great artist. I still have pictures.
What is she
I still have pictures that she drew for me when she was a little girl. Still have them.
What kind of stuff does she paint?
Well, she does art on the computer. So she does. Hey Jesse.
Text me
your site, and we'll tell people to go to it. Text me the name of your site. I forget offhand. So we'll wait for her to answer. She goes, it's still a good show without me. That's pretty funny.
Boy, I'd like to tell a lot of different stories, I tell you.
Well, here, pick one now.
I could probably talk her leg off.
Well, here, we're gonna play another little piece of one of your songs here. We'll play some more trivia here. Hang on.
I've been failing at that. Please.
Here we go. You're batting 500, so yeah. Here you go. You hear it?
Yeah.
Never saw it coming. It was a grand surprise.
Oh,
to tell the truth, I was tickled pink to kiss you goodbye. Believe me,
She does fan art. She wrote me a little thing here. Creating digital art, tutorials, and fan art. She's on Patreon. You ever hear that site, patreon.com?
No, I don't ring a bell.
I'll send you the link. Her handle is, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Silese. So now it's your turn. What's the name of this song?
I found me when I lost you, of course.
There you go. You're 2 for 3. Pretty good. Tell us about the genesis of the song. Is this a song you wrote a long time ago, or is this something you just...
What, that one?
Yeah. And this was released in 2016.
I believe that was on a KJL Carlson track. on Compose, if I'm not mistaken. Does it say, you know, if you click on the little deal to the right of it, there should be a three little dots in a row. It brings up the lyrics tab, and it tells everything about the song. So you can tell, like, if I wrote it myself and there's no other musicians on it, then it'll just have my name and the name of the song and the date and whatnot, but on the lyrics. But, you know, if it belongs to someone else, then I put that in there too. You know,
Kajil
Carlson.
Kajil
Carlson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's that? So that's it. That's not your song. That's his, or you wrote the words and he played the music.
He did the music. He's blind, and I can't even remember where he lives right now. But he lives in another part of the world, and he's really good. I mean, he's got tons of songs on there, blues and just different types of country, different things. And I go on there periodically. And
how did you meet him?
I've done a few of them.
How'd you meet him?
Well, just on the site, you know.
Okay, so you got Compose, www.compose.com,
Compose.
Music artist jam track, yeah.
So you
are on that site as well, and what do you do there? Do you put your music up there?
You can. I have a site, but I haven't used it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
These songs, I'm not real happy with some of them, so I kind of and I make a lousy project manager. You know, you're supposed to manage your own projects and figure out what instrumentation you want to use from who and all this different stuff. And I'm not great managerial material. You know, I'm more of the creative side of things. I really don't want to be the manager kind of thing.
I'm retired from being a project manager analyst from service businesses. You know, my triple A gig is my retirement gig to get me out of the house. And it's kind of like getting paid to go to the gym, because it's a very physical job and it keeps my boyish physique. You know, so keep me in shape. But my
I need
real
a
career,
job like that.
Yeah, my real career that I retired from was managing a lot of people in the service industry. But I know what you mean when you say you're having trouble managing all your sites, because there's not enough time in a day. There's just not enough time in a day.
I mean, it's like the days are like gone. You wake up and all before you know it, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, and I have over 300 interviews in about a – I started doing this in 2015, and I did this for about 4 months, and I just kind of burnt myself out because I was doing 5-6 interviews a day, 7 days a week, and it was way too much. But it added up to – in about 3-4 months, I did over 200 interviews. Then I said, I need to take a break at this. And I have had all my interviews safely stored on Dropbox. And so I still have them all. So about 3 months ago, my friend Bill Martin from Acoustic Martin over in Philadelphia, you know, he kept calling me. And finally I said, I better answer the phone because he might have something very important to tell me. And he says, you need to go back on the air. You're really good at what you do. You need to go back on the air. You're making a mistake by not going back. And, he pulled me back in. And so I said to myself, I need to look at this a little differently this time. I'm not going to be doing shows every day, which I can. I mean, I have 2 hours a day where I can do shows, but it's just too much to do it every day. So I just do it on Monday nights. It becomes a thing where people know on Monday nights I'm on, and I know I'm on. So then it gives me time to be on Facebook. But I have like 98 shows up on the archives where people can listen to them. But I still have another 200 plus shows that I did back in 2015 to put up there. So, it just takes forever. Plus I have, pages that I need to, I have, you know, pages that I need to do on the website. And my websites aren't very fancy. You know, they're not fancy at all. And they're just informational. You know, most of it's text. There are some, you know, photos up there that I created into links, you know, for different bands. And I'd like to do a lot more, but, you know, there's, you know, life goes on. And, you know, there's just not, again, there's not enough time in a day. All right, so here's where we're going. So we're gonna say goodnight to you because we've been on for quite a while. We're going to end the show a little bit early here. I guess people really aren't interested in calling in tonight. I was hoping we were going to get some folks to call in and tell us about their gigs around the town. And if not, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, people are busy too. But we'll be on again next Monday. So we'll always have that opportunity again next Monday.
Maybe not on the holiday.
Yeah, you were right. The holiday, there's people listening. I can assure you that, you know, there are people listening. They just, like my daughter, they don't want to talk. They want to listen.
Yeah.
But anyway,
don't do it on Christmas or Thanksgiving either, Al.
Well, if it falls on a Monday, Monday's my normal day. I have entertained the change today, but I'm still entertaining that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, so why don't you tell folks how they can get in touch with you? Tell them the website you want them to go to, or how they can communicate with you. So tell them that, and then we're gonna bid you farewell for the evening.
I think can I just give them my email and they can contact me that way, and
if you
they
like
want to know anything else, go from there.
Well,
I don't have all my sites memorized.
Okay, well, why don't we do Reverb Nation? Let's tell them about Reverb Nation. So, what's your handle on Reverb Nation? I think that's a good starting point. And they can always contact you through Reverb.
Turquoise Rose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can get you on Facebook too under your name, or you want to go to Turquoise Rose on Facebook too?
You could try either one, Olivia Francis or Turquoise Rose.
Okay. Great.
Probably.
Okay.
And
maybe
bring up a lot of people with the same name. I don't know.
Actually, on Facebook, that is a little challenging because I did bring up a bunch of people with the Turquoise Rose name, and I knew it wasn't you because they weren't from Amarillo. That's where you're from, right?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So that's how I found you on Facebook. I kept looking until I found the Turquoise Rose from Amarillo, and then I found you that way. So I think the best way for people to contact you is go to Reverb Nation. And and look up Turquoise, do a search for Turquoise Rose on Reverb Nation.
Well, they can just go Turquoise Rose Reverb Nation, and that should bring it up.
Exactly.
No.
All right, Olivia, we're gonna wrap it up now, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
Nice
Al, thank
Me
you.
Too.
Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And
thanks for being on with
God
us.
God bless you.
You too. All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
This is Al Fink. We're gonna pull the plug tonight a little early. I guess people are busy on we don't have any callers, but we had a nice little show. And this will be archived by morning. This is Al Fink, and you're listening to BNCLive.com. So just let me tell you what the schedule is going to be next week. This way you could jump in. Next week we have a youngster named Jason Colombini. From North Jersey area, actually a young man's a teenager, and he was introduced to us by some other artists that tell me that this young man is just a fantastic guitar player. So he'll be on with us next week at 8 p.m. We have it at 9 p.m. We still have a slot open, so we're going to be filling that slot soon. You can go to bnclive.com to see the schedule. On 9/18, we have the Detonators come in, and that's another band from New Jersey, cover band from New Jersey. I think they're a tribute band. I forget what band they're a tribute to, but we'll learn about that when we have them on. And the 9/18 show, 9 p.m. show, is also open. So we'll fill that up for you as well. Once you go check out our Twitter pages, if you go to bnclive.com and you look over on the left side of the page, you'll see all our local Twitter accounts. We split up. We use local Twitter accounts because it doesn't make any sense to me to tell people who's playing in New York if they live in Miami. They're probably not going to go to the show. Be a heck of a commute. So we try to post only stuff that's from the local scenes in Boston and Chicago and Atlanta and New York City and Long Island. But you can check it out and follow and join and post your stuff in the appropriate Twitter account. You can also go to Al Fink over on Facebook. Okay, you can go there, and we have a whole bunch of different groups on Facebook that we run. And you go to Bands and Clubs on Facebook, and you could join that group, and you can post your stuff where you're playing. No politics, please. We just talk music, live music. If you have something interesting to tell us about your band, your club, if you're a promotion person, you want to talk about the people that you promote, you can always call us. I'm going to give you one more shot. If you want to call in, now's the time, 917-889-9970. We'll be here for another minute or so. I do have until 10 o'clock, but we're going to pull the plug early. We had a nice show with Olivia, Turquoise Rose, and the show will be up by Morning Archive. And, hey, get out and see your local artists. Don't drink and drive. Have a good time. Support your local bands. Listen to Al Fink, bnclive.com. All right, we'll see you next time. Next show is next Monday, 8 p.m. Listen to the archives, bnclive.com. All right, take care. Bye-bye.